Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello. Welcome to ENN on this Friday, windy Friday evening in New York. I hope everyone is safe and well. And if you're not and you're going through it right now, we send you our best because obviously it's another day where we've learned that a lot of New Yorkers lost their lives yesterday. So sending our prayers and well wishes to everyone who's being so affected by COVID-19. We're going to have some fun during ENN. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Which is kind of scared.
Oh, you're a bad guy, RJ. You're a bad guy.
Which is kind of scared.
Yeah. It was earlier today. You were trying to say sad, but instead.
Which is kind of scared.
Like, if you're scared and sad, I guess that could be a good word.
You're
right?
Scared. Good evening, Don.
How many chances you get?
That's right.
Good old times. Different world then.
So the Giants have responded to a story we talked about during ENN yesterday.
Why?
Well, because apparently they felt it was unfair that people were judging their poll of all-time great players that didn't include Odell.
Okay.
And the what player was it? Justin Tuck responded to someone and pointed out that the only players used were either current Giants or retired Giants. No active players on other teams.
And by the way, Justin Tuck is going to be on with Carlin later.
Really?
Nice. 8 o'clock.
Wow. I'll tell you what. Carlin's a feverish guest booker.
When you're doing a lot of people said, well, they've asked me, how do you do 4 hours? I said, it's three guys doing 4 hours.
It's easy. Yeah.
So we have each other to play off of, but Chris is the only guy who does a show alone. That's not easy. You need
no. It's
guests.
A bear. That's a bear.
And Larry has been doing it by himself for 2 hours, but over the last week or so, he's had Gordon Damer with him.
Right.
So back to this story though. Back to the story. I'm calling BS, Don, because I'd like to know who else would be affected by this, who was left out besides Odell.
Well, there's no excuse for what Don brought up yesterday. Charlie Connerly is not on the list. All right, the list is bogus then. You have Daniel Jones instead of Charlie Connerly?
Now, Mary Kay Talbot, who covers the Browns, did an article on it.
Mm-hmm. And she pointed this out.
And then she actually came up with that it must be either they snubbed him or it was a case of that you couldn't be active playing for another team.
But they didn't make that clear, though.
But so she tweeted that out, and then Pat Hanlon, PR director extraordinaire for the Giants, retweeted and said, amen and thank you. At least you asked. So that backs up that, that was the point. But
well, why
Peter,
wouldn't that have been put at the top of the poll?
Exactly.
Any active players have to be on the Giants. It seems small.
And here's my question. Who else would be snubbed as a result of that caveat? Anyone besides Odell? Someone said Jason Pierre-Paul. They didn't list defense.
I didn't see a defensive one.
I only saw running back, quarterback, wide receiver. So who else? Who else is active? Who is potentially an offensive Giants great? Who would not make it because they're on another team?
So you're telling me if you did this list 5 years ago or 6 years ago, when OCU Manyoro was in Atlanta and Justin Tuck was in Oakland, they wouldn't have been included on like greatest defensive players for the Giants because they were still playing with another team. Like, why is that a thing? You're either a great Giant or you're not a great Giant, right? So what does it matter if you were still playing on another team? It just seems to me like that's a rule they came up with so that they didn't have to put Odell on the list.
Mm-hmm. Right. They made the rule before they made the game.
I agree. It feels petty. It feels small. Oh, speaking of which, guess who's back at it again? Everyone's favorite wacky head coach who doesn't know what they're doing, Bill O'Brien. That's right. We remember, of course, that the Texans decided to trade DeAndre Hopkins for a dollar and some envelopes. And now the Texans have traded a second-round pick, which is number 57 overall, to the Rams in exchange for Brandon Cooks. Now, why'd they need Brandon Cooks? Well, that would be because they have a major gap at wide receiver. Why do they have a major gap at wide receiver? Well, that would be because they gave away DeAndre Hopkins for a dollar and some envelopes. So the Rams end up getting now a second-round draft pick. And
they don't have a first-rounder.
And the word is that this draft is going to be five or six deep at wide receiver. And in all likelihood, at 57 overall, you could probably still get a wide receiver. And they now have, I think they're paying Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks a combined $38 million over the next 2 years. Mm. Reportedly, DeAndre Hopkins wanted between $18 and $20 million a year over the next 2 years. But they're paying that to Brandon Cooks, whose production is down, who has been, I think he's had five concussions. So, Don, it really just feels like O'Brien is doing anything to make up and fill the gap that he now has post DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it's kind of eerily similar to what happened with Gruden when he traded Mack away and then was talking about how it's not easy to find a pass rusher when he was losing games because quarterbacks weren't getting sacked. And, well, you had it, and you let it go.
The two wide receivers that add up to $19 million or $20 million, you ask any coach in the NFL, would they rather have the guy that the Texans traded away for $20 million or the two guys for $19 million? And, of course, you'd take DeAndre Hopkins for $20 million.
Yeah. Especially if Cooks has had how many concussions, Peter? You said five?
He said four or five.
You know, listen, obviously they didn't like him, and they were offended that he wanted that much money, and so they let him go.
But one thing that's lost in this, because everybody wants to jump on Bill O'Brien, which is a good sport, by the way. Not he is, but it's a good sport.
It's fun.
The Rams are awful. The Rams, I mean, they had that run, and now they're in rebuilding mode. They have so much dead money on their cap. Remember, they went for that 1 year. They don't have a first-round draft pick. They spent a lot of money to make it happen right then and there. They're not making it happen. So it's going to be a very interesting team to look at this year. No Todd Gurley. Now
right.
No Cooks. It looks like they're rebuilding.
And I think the jury's still out on their quarterback.
So, talking about quarterbacks and reviews of quarterbacks, Terry Bradshaw was on 93.7 The Fan, and he was asked whether or not Tom Brady is the GOAT.
He may be the best quarterback we've had in the last 30 years. Is he better than Staubach? No. Is he better than Dan Fouts? No. Dan Marino? No. I'm talking talent-wise when you put all of it together. Does he have more Super Bowls than anybody? Yes, therefore he's the best. And I absolutely have no problem saying if you've got the most Super Bowls and he's done it, you can be in there. But I don't put anybody as the greatest of all time. I would never do that.
Better than Dan Fouts, guys? No. Really?
Dan Fouts is a great quarterback, but
not even they're not even in the same category, guys.
Can I ask you guys a question?
I'll allow it.
Why is Terry Bradshaw a thing? I mean, his opinions to me are utterly useless. Mike Tomlin's not a good coach.
I know.
According to Roger Staubach, come on, please. Please. Roger Staubach was a tremendous Hall of Fame quarterback. He's not Tom Brady. What, just because you only want to go with the guys in your era? I mean, when was the last time Terry Bradshaw said something when you go, wow, that's really astute, Terry? Most of the time he says something like, wow, Terry, hello? Why is he a thing? And all we talk about are we trying to get younger, audiences only seem to relate to younger guys, get rid of Chris Collinsworth, he's out of here,
but
bring
he's
in
wacky.
Tony Romo. Why is he still a thing? Why?
Because he's wacky.
Yeah, he's a hot take.
A lot of guys are on that wacky.
But do you guys want a take that might blow your mind?
Yeah.
You ready? Do you know what Terry Bradshaw is?
What?
The poor man's Charles Barkley.
Yeah, he's very football poor. Charles Barkley. That's a good point.
He's the, and that's what they wanted him to be. That's what they wanted that show to be. They wanted that show to be football's inside the NBA, and Bradshaw is the Barkley. But guess what? Barkley, his hot takes, they're hot takes because he's really raw and direct. They're not unsmart. Barkley makes smart takes about basketball.
Thank you.
Bradshaw, while he's entertaining and funny, I'm not knocking him. I'm not saying he's not entertaining on the show.
Right.
But his takes aren't good.
His takes
They're
are not
good.
Wait a minute, guys. In defense of him, Dan Marino might be a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
Okay,
he's
that's
never
one.
Won a Super Bowl.
That wasn't the only one that he threw out.
He said Staubach and Fouts.
Well, Staubach, I don't understand him saying. Fouts was a tremendous quarterback.
Tremendous quarterback.
Did you read RJ's notes today? RJ sent the stats today. Fouts barely had any touchdowns over interceptions. 7 playoff games overall. He's not in the conversation with Tom Brady. 7 playoff games. Tom Brady's had that this month. I mean,
he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's very good.
But he is just throwing out stuff, and this is not new.
Like,
at least
Barkley.
Maybe he
doesn't like Brady personally.
But then, I'm sorry, that's not an excuse.
Or is it?
But I'm just saying, like,
I'm trying to come up with why he would say it.
Yeah, listen, Charles Barkley is a guy that says crazy things sometimes and all that. But for the most part, they kind of make you think. And at least most of the time, I'd say 70% of the time, you're like, you know what, he's probably right.
Yeah, but
I'm asking you, when was the last time Terry said something? You're like, yeah, pretty good idea, Terry. You're thinking outside the box there, Terry. You know, I didn't think of it that way, Terry. It's usually like, oh my God, what's the matter with this opinion? Come on. And he is entertaining, but in kind of like that goofy way that I just don't know why he's still a thing.
I have a question.
I thought he brought up really good points, though, about, you know, why he left. I mean, I do agree with him. You guys think it's all because of the, you know, the challenge. I think it's because of ego. He wants to show that he could do this without Bill Belichick. That was the main point that Bradshaw made. So I totally get that. I think that he might be onto something there.
But that's not a football opinion. That's just a guess. That's a human guess, which is fine. I'm not against it, but it's not the same as this football take, which is nonsense.
I think you're right, Michael. Everybody's kind of looking for that Charles Barkley guy, and that's why that's why Fox threw on Pete Rose, and that's why, because he's a former Steeler and everybody knows him. He's been in movies and all that stuff. But I just think that once in a while, can you give me an opinion that has some sort of value? I mean, Mike Tomlin's not a good coach. Peter, come on, it's a joke. That's a joke opinion.
Well, you remember, I went off about that at the time.
Yeah, come on.
I never understood that at all. All right, guys, we'll move right along. Speaking of Dan Fouts, sorry, he's also no longer part of CBS's NFL coverage. Supposedly the replacement's going to be Charles Davis or Trent Green. Fouts has been there forever, guys. I mean, that's like, I feel like since the second he walked off the field, he's been in that spot.
Now, again, I might be biased just because he works with Ian, and Ian is terrific. And it seems like, right, Michael, they get assigned to like every Jet game. So we've heard a lot of that team.
They're the second team.
We hear a lot of that team. I'm not. Are they the second team?
Yeah, they're the second team on CBS.
Because they do an awful lot of Jet games, and the Jets haven't been very good in the last couple of years. So I don't know if they're the B team.
Well, they get the other playoff game. They're the B team. What announcer is above them? Other than Nance.
I'd have to think about it.
No, Ian's the number two.
But whatever it is, I think they're terrific. I really do. So what would be the motivation to replace him? Is he asking for too much money? Or
no,
is
I think
it the
you
boy?
Hit it earlier. They're going to bring in somebody. Trent Green didn't play yesterday.
Well, Trent Green
Neither
played.
Charles Davis.
Well, Trent Green and Charles Davis are both a generation after Fouts.
Right, but there's a generation or two after them.
But also, let's be clear. Charles Davis isn't a big name as a player, period. Trent Green, neither. And it's neither of them are moving the needle. I the part you guys are ignoring, I'm telling you, I saw a lot of criticism on Fouts all the time. I'm not saying that's the right reason, and I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying on Sundays I would notice a lot of tweets, a lot of times things he said trending for the wrong reasons. I'm not saying it was fair.
if they're dead set on getting rid of Fouts with Ian, right? It looks like it's not like Fouts is going to be assigned to a lower level game. You got two guys that would be unbelievable in the booth, in Boomer and Phil. Why wouldn't you put them in instead of in the studio?
And they're both in the studio together, right?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. They're the same person.
Exactly. Thank you. How is that accentuating a pregame? They basically play
the same era.
They antagonize each other, I guess. That's,
no,
that's
and they're both great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking either one of them, but they're both blonde. They're both were New
same
York
era.
Quarterbacks. They both were quarter. I mean, it doesn't seem to make, like, how is – they're different people. I get it. But you like to have, all right, a defensive guy. You like to have an offensive guy, maybe a different eras. It's kind of the same person.
Well, I'd be hard pressed to second guess CBS. I mean, they came up with Romo and it was a home run, and they moved Sims out of there. Sims was considered great.
I give him zero credit for it.
Oh my goodness, how?
Because if he was a Bengal, they would have never given him an interview.
Doesn't matter.
They only gave him the interview because he was a Cowboy. They completely stepped in. Completely stepped in.
Not only did they give him the job, they gave him the number one job and took Phil Sims off the air.
They stepped in it.
I don't agree with you.
Because how would they know? He had never done anything.
Sean McManus knew.
How would they know?
You know how they know? Because they were in pregame meetings with the guy, and they knew the guy was verbal.
And if he was a Panther.
I think Sean McManus hit a grand slam.
If he was a Panther, doesn't even get an interview.
I don't think you're right.
Doesn't even get an interview. Come on. If they have to hire a Cowboy. I think it's
okay,
it's
so
let's stone.
Say it was because of his Cowboyism, right? Jason Witten was a Cowboy. Fell flat on his face.
Right, because I'm saying.
So they made the right hire.
And I'm saying the same thing.
That Emmitt Smith was a Cowboy.
If Witten turned out to be the greatest thing in the world, then guess what? ESPN would have stepped in it. Take a guy right off the field, no experience whatsoever, throw him on just because he's a Cowboy. One, CBS hit a home run, and ESPN struck out. And it could have been the exact opposite. If ESPN took, if it was Romo, the timing was different, then CBS
would
have
won.
I give him zero credit. None.
How could
zero.
No, you're wrong. I can't believe that you're saying that. I mean, I think I wrote Sean McManus an email. It was a brilliant stroke. I don't care. If he was a Steeler, they could have hired him too. They
well,
just
the,
hire
thing.
Him like it's, NBC just did it, with Drew Brees, and they're going to put him on Football Night in America. They made him the number one analyst. That's not stepping in it. That's having conviction. This guy's going to be great.
Based off of what?
Oh, no. Hold on, guys.
Based off
good.
Of what?
This is the first time
in a
month.
They talk with the guy a lot.
You had no idea that he could do the job until he did it, so that's stepping in it.
I think they did a lot of homework on him. They probably gave him.
But homework on what? Yeah, there's a lot of people that are. Listen, who is more flamboyant than Rex? Right? Has he been like a home run on top? I think he's been good, but you know we'd always talk about, well, he's going to be great on television, and he's been okay.
But they put him as they removed a guy who was considered to be really good.
Right. No, I just think they took a chance, and ESPN took a chance on Witten. You don't think Monday Night Football is important for ESPN? Of course it is. It's probably the most important product that ESPN has is Monday Night Football. They threw Witten on, and they completely whiffed. And I'm sure they did whatever homework they could and talked to Witten, and they were thoroughly convinced he would have been able to do the job.
Why don't you give McManus credit for doing better homework?
Because
then?
I don't think
but he's
it's better homework.
Was it homework or was it the quarterback of the Cowboys?
Right, he's the
they
quarterback
took
of the Cowboys. He's a needle mover because he's a quarterback for the Cowboys. He's a polarizing guy. He had a great personality. Same with Witten. He's a Cowboy. He had a personality. And it just turned out bad for ESPN and good for CBS.
Well,
they took a chance and
you.
It worked
you
out.
Give them, no, I give them a lot.
But what are you basing it on?
Oh, guys, it's
because
okay.
of how it worked out.
Before? No, it worked out because they stepped in it. A lot of people, I
but,
stepped
that,
in
but
it.
But that's
my whole career is stepping in it.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's just being in the right place at the right time, and it worked out. But it wasn't like he was doing games somewhere, and they're like, boy, this guy's really good. He's been doing it for a couple of years. He's killing it college-wise.
But don't you think, Don, that when they talk to these guys, when they do Cowboy games, they spend a lot of time with the quarterbacks and the coaches.
No, I'm not saying it was a completely...
So they saw something in the guy. We're gonna remove Phil... Did anybody think Tony Romo was going to be an announcer? We're going to remove Phil Sims, and we'll make Tony Romo the number one guy with Jim Nantz.
Right.
You're going to say they fell in that?
Yes. And ESPN fell the wrong way with Witten. You're taking a chance when somebody's never done anything before. Guess what, Michael? I think you might think this is ridiculous. I think that MSG and the Yankees stepped in it with you. You had never done it before. They took a chance. Good on them for taking the chance, and it worked out. But it wasn't like you were in the minor leagues for 10 years and they go, God, this guy is brilliant doing play-by-play.
See, but that's
took a chance.
No, but that's why I think that when you hire somebody with no experience whatsoever, you have to see something. You have to see something. So the people that hired me on the radio, WABC, I'd never done radio other than in college. So they saw something. That's not stepping in it. Why would they hire me? I was a newspaper writer.
Because in most places, you give even if you think he's great, you're going to give him a chance on some of the lower-level games. You stick him on your college games or something just to make sure that you're right about your conviction. They threw him in there, and it worked out. I'm not killing anybody for it. I'm not trying to say it disparagingly, but I think there was a lot of luck involved. ESPN knows what they're doing, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't exist. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for ESPN and their sheer brilliance. They completely whiffed on Jason Witten. Completely whiffed. They took the chance. It failed. With just as much knowledge as CBS has.
See, but
these are two very well-run companies.
With you.
Both took chances. One whiffed, one hit a home run.
Let's say that after they hire Romo, Sean McManus, who's the president of CBS Sports, decides to hire Jason Witten. Then you could say, well, you know what? The Romo thing obviously was a fluke. He got lucky. Well, it wasn't CBS that hired Witten. It was ESPN. So the different people that made the different judgment, one was right and one was wrong.
Right, but you can't say that both companies aren't very good at judging their talent.
They are very good. And you know what? CBS whiffs on things, too. They didn't whiff on Romo.
But I just think that when you just if you just go on like a hunch and throw somebody into a situation, I think a lot of it just happens to be luck.
But I don't think you give the number one slot in football on CBS on a hunch. They felt strongly about it.
Well, I'm not saying that it was completely uneducated.
Don, we're
but,
not going to change
he'd never done a game.
Each other's mind.
I think this is now a battle for the last word. I think it's time to move on.
So let Don have it.
Don, say word. Tom Brady is not done with TB times TB, that little cute logo he came up with. Two more trademarks for Big Tom in Tampa. And these are really good. There's Tampa Brady, or my favorite. Oh, no, it gets better. My favorite. Tampa Bay. Who doesn't want a shirt that says the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Bradeneers? Oh, my God.
I didn't have a major rooting interest in this.
Now you're against him.
Now, boy, I hope he goes 0-16. I hope it's a complete failure.
Wow. What that is quite a turnaround.
Box. Complete toolbox.
Tampa
Bay. One of the most famous people on the planet, okay? You're filthy rich. You got your dream to go where you wanted to go and play, and you got to trademark these stupid things?
Somebody texted me when we were talking about this earlier and said, you guys are right, but maybe he trademarked it so nobody else could use something so stupid. He has no intention of trying to make money off of it. He just didn't want anybody else to do it.
No.
Now, if he does that, then he's playing three-dimensional chess. If he actually thinks he's going to sell T-shirts and spikes with that, well, shame on him for even going there.
Well, that's like hosing down the house just in case it catches fire. I mean, is he that brilliant?
He is pretty smart.
I can't stop replaying the word Tampa in my head. It's so stupid. I'm obsessed with it. In fact, I might get a shirt that says Tampa Bay. It's that bad. Like I can't even believe this happened. Well, MLB is now going to have a sort of a digital league, if you will, a Twitch league.
Why?
I'm not sure. I guess they're trying to fill time.
Okay.
So basically, each team is going to have one player represent that team, and they're going to play. MLB, which game is it, RJ?
The Show, I think.
The game's called, it's called MLB The Show.
Yeah.
By the way, the headline, I read the headline 7 times this morning. MLB The Show League, I'm like, I could not make it make sense in my head.
The game's
called MLB The Show. Got it.
Right.
So anyways, one player from each team will be playing. They're going to play on Twitch, a 29-game regular season with the best 8 teams reaching the playoffs. So if you're excited, tonight you can jump on Twitch and watch Blake Snell play against the Rays. Blake Snell, by the way, playing against the Reds, Amir Garrett.
Okay.
And the Yankee representative, Tommy Canley, who's really good at those video games.
So they got the big guns.
Oh, you're You're a bad guy. You're a bad.
Come on, you weren't thinking it. Well, as you were reading it, you weren't thinking it.
Well, Snell.
But Blake Snell won a Cy Young Award.
So Snell is passable, even though I hate his name. But Snell is passable.
Yes, I would agree with
But when you
that.
Got to Amir Garrett, and then when I heard the Yankees, so Michael goes, the Yankees rep, and I go, oh, here we go.
There we go.
And in my mind,
Judge,
I thought, you know, who's been super active on social these days is Aaron Judge. He did IG Lives the last two nights. Maybe it's Aaron Judge.
Baby.
And then he goes, Tommy Kahnle. No. Chip Kelly is not excited about the prospect of college football having empty stadium games. Let's hear from Chip Kelly on his conference call.
I mean, if it's not safe for fans to attend a game, then I don't know why it would be safe for players to participate in a game. But again, those are things that we don't control. I don't have any say in what's going on. You know, I think the medical people that are in charge will. And I think in a lot of cases, even the NCAA may weigh in on it, but, you know, the governors and the states and the mayors are the ones that are going to tell you if we can do it, because the NCAA can say, hey, you guys are all going back. And if Governor Newsom says we're not going back, then we're not going back.
Well, he brings up a great point, which was brought up by the AD of Ohio State as well. You can't sit together in the stands, but 22 guys on the field, some of them nose to nose exchanging snot and spittle, they can do it.
Well, I like the sentiment, because I kind of brace myself when I hear a college coach for just sheer stupidity coming out of their mouth. So I like what Chip Kelly said. I like where his head's at. But, Michael, you'd have to admit that if they're going to allow that to happen, that all of these players have been tested negative. So the fact that they're spitting on each other isn't going to matter, because all of them would have been negative. And then we'd get to the testing point where you would know that they are all able to be safe. And the reason you can't do that with fans is you can't guarantee 100,000 fans tested negative to be able to go into the building.
What the heck is wrong with Bear today? What's going on, Peter?
Bear, he's protecting the apartment.
Are you under siege?
Oh, no. RJ, you got a drop of real bear barks?
Wow. I mean, what are the two guys from Home Alone breaking in, or what?
So that didn't act, that wasn't live? That was RJ?
RJ, do it again. No, it was live earlier, but not just now.
That's brilliant.
Sad.
Oh. Anyways, Drew Brees, we mentioned broadcasting earlier, but Drew Brees has picked NBC over ESPN, to which I say, all right, have
bye,
a good
buddy.
Time.
Have a great life.
That's exactly how I feel. Can I just say this, too? Optically, is it great to be, like, forking over money to rich people to come broadcast when these companies are firing people and furloughing people?
Have we seen NBC do that?
I don't know, but I know that basically there are I don't know how many companies are not requiring that, at least on their local stations, people to get furloughed. Like, I don't know. And is it important? I mean, the guy's playing in the league next year. Does Drew Brees really need a contract to be paid money on? I mean, and by the way, Drew Brees, as generous as they come, this isn't a knock at Drew Brees in the least bit. I'm just saying, I don't know if right now that's what anyone needs to see.
You know what gets me too? He's obviously there to take Chris Collinsworth's job. What an awful thing. I mean, that has to be hanging over Collinsworth's head. So supposedly Michaels is going to be there till the Super Bowl, and they're forcing him out. You think he wants to give up that gig? That's the greatest gig in sports. The amount of money that Al Michaels makes, and they hired Al Michaels' replacement, 4 years ago when they brought Mike Tirico over?
Yep.
That's, I mean, breathing down your neck, your replacement.
And now Collinsworth is trending. He's been trending for the last few hours.
I'll tell you what, if I was ESPN, and I'm not, I'd hire Al Michaels.
You know what they should do? Considering you can see where NBC is going, get the team. Get Michaels and Collinsworth.
Yeah, but the tough part is that ESPN can't offer them a Super Bowl, and NBC has a Super Bowl in 2022.
Do you think, though, you don't think Michaels would be excited about the prospect of bringing back a certain cachet to Monday Night Football?
Yes, but remember, if he stays at NBC till 2022 Super Bowl, when he comes over to ESPN, he would be 77 years old.
They can't buy them out. They can buy that early.
Trade them another cartoon character.
I do think, now we may run out of time here, obviously, with the current climate. I don't know when things will get back to a financial normal where money's going to get thrown around by these networks the way they were before. But, Michael, I believe that we're going to get to a point now where ABC is going to get back into the fold so they can get a Super Bowl, and that might end up being where Monday Night Football is back on ABC.
Can you think of a better gig, Don, in all of sports broadcasting than Sunday Night Football with the money that Al Michaels makes? He works, what, 16 weekends a year?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
That's an unbelievable gig.
By the way,
he probably flies private jets.
You talk about getting something right. A lot of people looked at the shift to over-the-air Sunday, cable Monday as, whoa, wait a minute. The tradition, the pageantry of Monday Night Football, why do you think you're going to get a better number on Sunday? Boy, did they get that right. Sunday's to the point now that if Monday Night Football did go to ABC, I still think Sunday's a better spot.
That'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening.
That was interesting.
And by the way, the tweets are rolling in asking about what seed Bear is going to get in Drop Madness next year.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.